Good morning, and good morning to you, Dr. Alterman. Great to have you on.
Good morning.
So tell us, what is the senior advisor to the CIO at NIH do?
Well, I sit in the corner, I think great thoughts, but then we talk about them. Seriously, we have a number of issues at NIH. We have a lot of big data science requirements that we have to get to. We've historically done that through local services, direct contacts, contracts, I mean. But now with this, the whole new cloud paradigm question of, you know, do we need to run email services anymore? Can we outsource or at least distribute supercomputing services to do data mining that we haven't done before? So we have a lot of opportunities with new technologies. One of my responsibilities is to understand how a lot of new technology options can be used to advance the scientific research agenda at NIH.
So hypothetically, well, in reality, we know that NIH generates large sets of data about clinical items all over the place. So what could data mining do hypothetically to help advance science if applied to this vast data store that they have?
Think about it. We've got 60, 70 years of grant research information that has never been mined. So I've read some estimates that we know maybe 30-40% more medical science than we think we know just by mining the data we have, correlating with external sources, using new technologies. We could discover a lot of things that we've already discovered that we just haven't found yet.
So it's in there. We just have to be able to, as you say, mine it. So what's required of the agency and the tech staff to be able to get to that capability?
That's what we have to find out. There are a lot of different options out there, some better, some worse. We have to understand whether these estimates and projections are real or not, and we have to make some informed decisions about what kind of technologies to apply where. We have a division of computational bioscience, which is really world-class, and they're leading that right now.
So it would be up to the scientists and program leaders to decide what questions to ask. What you have to do then is help the CIO staff be ready to apply whatever it is that the program and medical staff decides they want to know.
That's right. That's right. Our job is to serve the research program agendas of all the institutes and centers.
Now, always comes up the topic of new technology and new capabilities such as you've described versus just the sheer cost of maintaining the existing infrastructure computing.
Mm-hmm.
And how is NIH addressing that question?
Well, we have the usual problems and the usual opportunities. We have a very sophisticated and large pipe, our backbone. But as you said, we have petabytes of data from, you know, digitized radiography services to huge survey sets, for example. It runs the whole gamut. So what we have to do is we have to be able to store it securely. We have a real security requirement that's government-wide, and that really makes sense for us because we're on the leading edge of a lot of things. So we have to store it, we have to move it, and we have to be able to utilize it. And these are real challenges because, you know, things don't scale sometimes the way that you need to have them scale.
So is there a cloud option that could help all of this?
There are many cloud options that can help all of this. There is more storage available in a cloud or a fog. That's a cloud that's at, you know, ground level, which
right.
is where people are. And also, it's not easy to see in the cloud, so it always costs you in wrong turns.
Yeah, fog computing. We may
fog
have coined a new word right here.
Yeah, well, I've been using it, so feel
right.
free.
We're just amplifying it.
Yes, I like the 50,000-watt option. Excuse me. So there are a lot of cloud options. We have to make sure that the cloud options are secure and that we can use them within the context of the federal requirements. You know, a scientist working doesn't care about federal requirements, but the federal requirements are there for a reason. They're to protect the data and to make sure that we can afford keeping the data where it is. So that's what we're working at.
Do you talk to your counterparts at the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services? Because they have equally large data sets, and they outsource a lot of their data to many contractors and seem to have had a pretty good track record in terms of security and, and the data privacy. So do you collaborate with them at all or get ideas from them?
Absolutely. I'm on the departmental CTO council, and I work with my CMS colleagues on that side. I work with the Lockheed Martin contractors who provide a whole lot of the data background for CMS, so yes.
And we're speaking with Peter Alterman. He's the senior advisor to the CIO at the National Institutes of Health. And let's talk about cybersecurity a little bit more right now. What are the big challenges to your particular situation, having all this clinical, medical, and personally identifiable information to a fare-thee-well relative to other agencies?
Yeah. That the patient data is probably the most critical thing. We all, you know, we not only do we take patients with advanced and or rare diseases who are in study spotlights. We have to protect that data. We have national leaders who come to NIH for medical care from time to time, and that's a very touchy problem to protect that kind of data. The whole cybersecurity requirements the federal government has put out are very, very solid. The federal cybersecurity policy is very, very solid. The National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, which is going to be rolled out on Friday, plug, very useful, very important. We like many other federal agencies, we are in the process of improving our cybersecurity profile, and as we improve, we discover more and more threats that have either been there for a while and not been seen or recent. So improving our posture is making everybody more aware of advanced persistent threats that we are actually being attacked on.
And getting back to that idea of ID management, which is a cybersecurity issue, too, you said the strategy's coming out, and we've been waiting for that one for quite some time. But you have a lot of people accessing the data that NIH has, scientists and doctors all over the place, federal employees, contractors and grantees, and they're also putting data in.
Right.
So what are you doing to advance ID management? I would think that's a critical issue for protecting the integrity of all that information.
We have at least 100,000 investigators on a regular basis who have grants or active grants with NIH. We have, as you said, hundreds of thousands of people who are just general citizens who want information from PubMed or Medline. Aunt Sally comes down with breast cancer, and all of a sudden, people are hitting the Library of Medicine for information about cancer treatment and cancer issues. So what we have to do is we have to make information available, sometimes advanced research information for collaborative purposes with researchers all over the world. At the same time, we have to make sure that that data is only the right people, the appropriate people hit that data. So we have a very sophisticated world-class identity management infrastructure which we've put in place. It's gotten a lot of press from the industry and from government about how it's a leading-edge entity. It's called iTrust, and it's a federated validation single sign-on service. We're in front of, for example, PubMed. PubMed uses us as a log-on service, and they have something in the neighborhood of 75,000 open ID citizen and higher ed researcher credentials. Credentials come in, we validate them, and then we can pass them on to PubMed. We're getting in the neighborhood of 5 million transactions a day. Real useful stuff. We have right now about 60 federated applications behind the iTrust front door, and we're getting hundreds of thousands a week from general citizens, researchers, other federal agencies. We are fronting a SharePoint service that the White House uses, that IRS uses, that VA uses, that OMB uses. And we're able to accept those credentials, validate those credentials, sometimes for real high PII stuff and high dollar stuff. And we can protect all of that and at the same time make it available.
And this is via a card? Is it a card infrastructure?
Well, we use the CA SiteMinder as the key part, but we have a whole lot of other technologies in there. But we can take PIDs, we can take OpenID credentials, we can take shibboleth credentials issued by universities to researchers and faculty and staff. So we can take credentials that are level 1, 2, 3, or 4 and validate them, pass them on at the appropriate level of protection, security, and risk.
We are speaking with Peter Alterman. He is the senior advisor to the CIO at the National Institutes of Health. It's been great talking with you. We'll have to follow up on some of those topics.
Yeah, at the panel in a few minutes.
Live from the Federal SMC in Cambridge, Maryland, Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.